right, we're back again. Mike and Lisa Austin here with your morning tradition on Magnificat Radio at MagnificatMedia.com. We're going to wrap up this segment on missions with Christine Meinholz and then take a break and get back with Father Wood, who is going to be on the phone with us, calling us from Colorado. He's actually on vacation. Christine, thanks for hanging through the break with us here. I just wanted to ask you quick, what is the strangest thing? I mean, it had to be a weird thing to get acclimated to a different climate, different food, different living conditions, which I can't imagine were, you know, you weren't at the Hilton.
Not usually, no.
So what's the strangest thing you had to do to get acclimated, or what was the hardest thing, I should say?
Well, there's definitely a lot with, let's see, one of the hardest things to get used to is the languages, because you have French, Swiss, German, Vietnamese, Korean, Malaysian, American, Filipino, and so trying to be understood by everybody, or trying to make yourself understood. I would say though the hardest thing, just in general with the mission, is keeping up hope, because you're always surrounded by poverty and you're always surrounded by like so many difficult cases and all these people who have it so difficult, and making sure that you keep that smile on your face.
Right.
And the funniest thing is that the people who help you most with that are the people who suffer the most.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
One of my favorite little stories, so when Typhoon Yolanda hit, there was this man who he had been at work. He was working in a fish stall, and when the typhoon, because they work, I mean, it's literally earn money, spend it, go to work the next day, just hand to mouth, very much so. So he had to go to work. He'd been trapped in his fish stall, and by the time he got out of there and he had helped, like, a little old lady, he had helped some children, by the time he finally was able to get to his own house, because remember, there's 20 feet of water, all 13 members of his family had died.
Oh, exactly.
Wow. And then, like, it was 2 months before his brother could get down from Manila to Tacloban and get him, like, some psychiatric help and whatnot, because he obviously struggled with it.
Oh, yeah.
And yet, this man was one of our volunteers.
That's beautiful. I would think that his helping out was part of his therapy, that his sort of self-induced therapy, maybe.
Mm-hmm. I would agree, and that's why it's neat that, and that's why I say the best thing is, I mean, the most difficult thing is that you just always see suffering and poverty and this and that, and yet the best thing is, for that is charity, whether it's to your fellow, like, missionaries, or whether it's the people that you're helping, just everybody. It's amazing what a difference that can make, and that's why I tell people, I'm like, they're like, well, I don't know if I can do a mission. I'm like, can you smile no matter what? Great, you can do a mission, you know?
And do they ever help out the United States?
This particular mission, no. This particular mission was basically set up, and they help out the Philippines. I am not aware of any ongoing missions in the United States.
Yeah. Okay. When's your next one? When do you go again, or do you go again?
You know, I'm just about to email my French contact. I would assume that it's going to be in February of 2016, but I do not know for sure. But I'm guessing I'm probably going to get a plane ticket in the next couple of months. So.
Fantastic. So you want to wait till winter, the dead of winter, and then you go someplace really tropical.
Actually, 1 year we had to introduce ourselves and why we came. And, of course, we could give the normal answers, I want to help people. Or one woman said, well, my husband is very rich, and I like to spend money, so I came here.
Well,
there you go.
And
my reason was that was the winter that Wisconsin was having, like, I think 4 straight weeks of zero or negative zero.
Wow.
And I was like, I came here because it's 100 degrees warmer than where I was at. I mean, we just all had interesting reasons.
Christine, one last thing, just real quick. If somebody has even thought, entertained the slightest bit about becoming a missionary or working on a mission, what do they need to do?
To be honest, I kind of got into it accidentally, so I'm not such an expert on that. But the one thing that I would definitely recommend is Scott Quinn is a contact at, I believe, the Regina Chaley House.
Okay.
And either through him or on the SSPS website, get a hold of either one of the district superiors or Scott Quinn and just say, hey, I'm looking for ways to help traditional Catholic missions and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about it?
Yeah.
Seems like if you
want to go, you're going to find a way to go.
Yeah, because the French also, I know like a lot of the girls, one of the girls was spending 6 months in India as a teacher because we have, I think SSDX has an orphanage in India.
Oh, beautiful.
And so she actually interrupted that six-month trip to come to Tacloban for 2 weeks and then go right back there. So I'm sure that like if you want to help out, there are ways to tell them what your skills or your interests are, and get involved that way.
That's beautiful.
And
go ahead.
Do you plan on doing this for your entire life, or do you have other ideas or aspects of maybe turning something else, this thing, into something different for yourself?
I definitely hope to do this for the rest of my life. I mean, it's been such a great impact on my life, and I hope that as younger people that I know get older, that I can take them with me, because I just think that going on at least one mission in a lifetime, I don't care what your skill set is or anything, I just think it's such a great experience for people, especially when you see the religious aspect of it, of, our Lord said at the end of the world that we're going to be divided based on whether we helped the least of our brethren or not. And when you go on a mission and you see the effect of that mission, you really understand what our Lord was talking about and why that's going to be the cutoff for heaven and hell. So I definitely hope I'm able to do it for the rest of my life. And I do have some other aspirations, but we'll see what happens with that in the future.
Okay.
Maybe it could be a Mr. and Mrs. mission. Who knows?
we'll see about that.
All right. Christine, thank you so much for giving up your time with us today here on Magnificat Radio and in your morning tradition. And God love you. And let us know. Keep us informed as to what's going on.
Definitely. Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. We're going to do this and come back and get the Latin word of the day, labore, labor. We're going to talk about working a little with Father Wood, who is not working. He's on vacation. Father Wood will join us on the phone on the way next here on Magnificat Radio at magnificatmedia.com. Mike and Lisa Austin here with your morning tradition. Once again, it's time for our Latin Word of the Day segment here on Your Morning Tradition. Mike and Lisa Austin here. Good morning and welcome. Magnificat Radio at magnificatmedia.com. On the phone this time, catching us on vacation. Thank you, Father, for doing that, by the way, taking your time out.
My pleasure.
Father Joseph Wood joins us via the electronic phone device.
Yes.
All the way from Colorado, where you were in the mountains in a minivan? Are you kidding me?
That's right. You know, Coloradans don't make a big deal about the mountains, so we go up in our minivans.
Right. They're all four-wheel drive minivans anyway, aren't they, out there?
No, my dad's was just front-wheel drive.
but it's the mountains,
It's all the visitors from the Great Plains that come into Colorado with their SUVs and think it's going to help them,
Oh, that's funny.
Because you're an expert at driving.
They can handle it.
So let's go with today's word. Speaking of, laboring up the mountain. How you like that transition, huh?
That's good. A good one.
Nice segue.
Good.
All right. So let's go with the word labor, to labor. Is that it? Does it generally mean to work?
It's got two meanings that are pretty distinct. So one meaning is to work. Laborare is to work, and the Benedictines have their motto, orare, to pray, mm-hmm. et laborare, to work.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got a second meaning that's pretty interesting, and that means to suffer or to undergo hardships.
Of course.
So when we talk, like, for example, of a woman in labor, we're talking about the fact that she's going through the suffering of childbirth.
Okay. Oh. I always looked at that as she was working at getting the baby out.
No, it's interesting. They're obviously linked somehow, but they're really separate meanings in English, the two for labor.
Right.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
And so a Roman using this word, he would say, I'm laboring at building the road. I mean, he would be at labor. Because it's not suffering for him, it's his job. He's working.
Yeah, and so when we talk about a laborer, we mean somebody who's working on a job site. But But when we talk about somebody who's belabored, we mean that he's carrying a burden. Something is difficult that he's going through. Mm-hmm. The second meaning of labor is difficulty or hardship or even a burden.
Mm-hmm. So, do we have any connecting? You know, because the thing about the Latin words, I love how they all connect. And they are connected to other things in life. And now, of course, we've connected with a woman in labor.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to me like labor has much
that
more.
That is suffering.
Yeah, no, yes. Not that I would know, but I have had a kidney stone, and that was close.
Very.
All right. But I don't, Father, I don't think that there, is this one of those ones where it is what it is? Labor is labor. You either suffer or you're working.
Pretty much, yeah. There's not a wide field of meanings or derivatives in English, but it is a word that comes up pretty much every day.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about the labor force and sort of thing.
Right, the worker.
A laborer on a job site.
Right, the worker force. Labor Day, we have, of course, Labor Day.
Day for the workers, to honor the workers.
Or maybe a day for the sufferers, Labor Day. Hey.
It could be understood that way from the Latin root. Although if you said that, people would probably look at you funny, I guess.
Well, I'm used to that, Father. Believe me. Happens quite a bit. I think we've pretty much covered labor. That was a quick one. So tell us about Colorado, then. What are you doing?
Well, I came out to see my dad, and we were originally going to go down to Durango. Durango's famous because Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid was filmed there.
Oh.
I've never seen the movie, but...
Neat.
It's a nice old town down south, but we ended up not going because of other things came up. So we really just spent a lot of time talking about everything.
Okay, now here is a, ladies and gentlemen, we're taking a right turn.
Okay.
All right. When you are a holy Catholic priest and you visit your parents, what kind of stuff do they talk about? Do they go, hey, can we go to confession, son? I mean, what happens?
My experience is that family doesn't always like going to confession to their son or brother or nephew.
I could see that.
But it's funny because the whole world thinks we're priests, and we are priests, but everybody treats us differently, but our family kind of doesn't. I know one priest that when he goes home, he does a lot of house projects for his family.
Right.
Well, that's nice.
His mom doesn't hesitate to say, rip out the driveway and put in a new one.
I love it. Do you? So when you go home to visit, are you right in Denver?
My dad lives in Lone Tree, which is basically grown into Denver. It's a whole suburb, kind of.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's close to Denver.
So did your dad get on, in the morning, say, son, did you make your bed?
No.
It's kind of like that. I mean, it's normal father-son stuff. And once in a while, he might ask me a question or say something because I'm a priest. But usually it's just Joe's back home, and we're going to do the stuff we always do with Joe type of a thing.
Yeah, get in a minivan and drive up into the mountains, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
That is a crazy...
I think that's neat.
In a minivan, though. Who drives a minivan in the mountains?
The Colorado ones.
I guess
If I said that right.
Yeah. All right. Durango.
Colorado, incidentally, the name of the state, it's kind of linked to Spanish, but it means color red.
Oh, Colorado.
The clay here is so red that the first explorers called it the state that's color is red, I guess. Colorado.
Ladies and gentlemen, you see where we've gone. We went with labor to work and to suffer. We learned you can drive a minivan in the mountains, if indeed you know how to drive.
Two-wheel drive.
A two-wheel drive minivan, no less. We also learned that even though you are a holy, ordained priest, and you went through and you hear confessions, your father will never go to confession with you, and you still have to make your bed when you visit home. And finally today, we have learned that Colorado means the color red.
Because the dirt was red?
That's what he said,
I missed that.
Yeah, the clay.
Yeah, the clay. It's a red clay. You have to be in certain parts of the state, I think, for it to really be noticeable, but there it is. I mean, if they dig very much, they get this red clay. It's so red that the name of the state comes from it.
Yeah. You ever go pining for gold or anything up in the mountains?
When I was in school, we did that as a field trip, and I don't think anybody found anything at all.
Okay. And your last question while you're on vacation, at least today, we're going to try and get a hold of you tomorrow again, if you don't mind, for another Latin word of the day and more about Colorado. But, Father, here's the tough question. So you were up in the mountains with your dad. You're in the minivan. Have you ever seen Bigfoot?
Bigfoot. My dad claims to see him regularly, but I just keep falling asleep.
That's funny.
All right. Boy, oh boy. This is a traditional Catholic show, right?
It is.
All right. I can't believe in Bigfoot, can I?
Well, nobody's disproven that he exists, and right. If he does, he's either human or non-human.
Exactly.
And I think if we keep those things in mind, I don't know, I'm not
right.
into that. But
hey, I had an uncle, he looked a lot like one, so there you go.
Oh, wow.
All right, so we're done. All right, Father Joseph Wood with the word labor today, and then a whole bunch of other stuff. So we appreciate that. Father, thank you for taking time on your vacation. If you don't mind, we'll get together tomorrow, too.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Sounds good.
Man, oh man. What a great guy. Father Wood is on vacation, and we'll bug his vacation again tomorrow as long as he's into it. We're going to take a break and come back and wrap up today's edition of Your Morning Tradition. Mike and Lisa Austin here. We're going to talk a little story that I found here, a little study done on marriage. Oh, good, a study done about marriage. We'll check that out next. On Your Morning Tradition, we'll be right back. And the happiness continues, ladies and gentlemen. It's Mike and Lisa Austin, and this is Your Morning Tradition, right here on Magnificat Radio.
Magnificat. Winding it down, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. MagnificatMedia.com. Thank you. Tell your friends. Give us suggestions. If you have a suggestion for a show or a segment, we would love to hear about that. And here's something we're going to work on. We were given the suggestion at our own chapel, St. Therese Chapel in southern Wisconsin here, Madison, about perhaps, and I think we had mentioned this before, perhaps chapels from around the country, SSPX chapels, would like to spotlight what they're doing. And we would like to talk about what you're doing, whether it's a pilgrimage, whether it's a fundraiser, a day trip. I remember we took that one trip that time to the shrine up near Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Father got a bus together. We all paid a fee. If you're doing stuff like that, we'd like to know about it because I think it's exceedingly interesting. And other people might hear it around the country, around the world.
What if they're putting some kind of their choirs putting something together?
Right. That was the thing. If you're doing if your choir can sing, we'd love to hear it. We'll put them on. We can do whatever we want. So, there you go.
Yeah.
Let us know about it. Email us.
Right.
And you can do that through the website while you're here. Just go up to the it's a contact us thing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Right. They can contact us.
The broadcast schedule is up. We're going to start archiving some of the shows as soon as our web guy can show us how to do that. So we'll get into that. Let's wrap up the show here this morning or this afternoon, if you're listening in the afternoon.
That is correct. Just
because when we tape, these are all pre-recorded. And so when we record this show and we replay it in the afternoon, as you know. Okay, so it was a study that I found, a little thing on, the study suggests the best age in which you should get married. And now this is very modern time stuff. This is out in the world type stuff, very secular. The University of Utah, although in Utah, isn't that all Mormons? I think so.
Pretty much.
University of Utah sociologists suggest in the National Survey of Family Growth, who knew that existed, people who marry at age 20 are 50% more likely to get divorced than those who marry at 25. I think it's probably a maturity thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on. He also concluded those who marry after 32 have divorce odds increasing by 5% each year. They say that the trend is new since data from 2002 show the divorce rate of people who got married after 30 was flattening. Basically, they say the best age to get married, on average, 33 years old, which we all know you can't just say an age that's best.
That's true.
You know, you can't.
I think some of it does have to do with maturity, but the biggest and most important part is I think the majority of couples have left out one important factor.
God.
Because he is that third person that comes into that marriage. I mean, not only are you making a promise to yourselves, but you are making a promise to God.
And how many...
And when you have that, when you really understand what that is, you don't want to break those promises, and you work harder at keeping that marriage.
Now, is that to say that there are never any, well, I don't know, traditional Catholic breakups?
I'm sure that they exist.
Gotta be rare. Because you would have to, you couldn't do that anyway.
Right. You can't.
I don't know. Anyway, so here's the thing, though.
There are extreme circumstances, okay?
Right.
Extreme.
That
but
is true.
For the majority of the part, I mean, once you're married for life.
Maybe we should, this would be a good segment to have Father talk more about
if
we can get
like
a hold
that.
Of a priest who would do it. But the thing is love in today's world is looked at completely out of sorts with what love is, right?
Right.
And you said, you know, they're leaving God out of the relationship. You know, if you look at some marriages, how many actually happen in a church, for one? Because people get married all over the place now because it's about the experience. They get married scuba diving underwater or in a farm up on the barn because it's, you know, I don't know. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is left out right there. But then, you know, you can get ordained. You can get a piece of paper that says you can marry people, like, on the internet.
I know you said that a while back, like last week sometime.
Yeah.
It kind of shocked me.
Yeah, you can do any, because it's not looked on as a sacrament. And that's what you said. It's leaving God out.
Right. They
and
are.
Today, love means lust, really. And it means, well, for men, I think, here's a broad generalization. For young men in today's out there in the world, love comes down to lust and how does she take care of me? Does she like me? Is she into what I'm into? Does she like my truck? You know what I mean?
But what happens if she doesn't like the truck anymore?
Well, that's the thing.
See ya?
She thinks I'm funny, so she must love me. And you ask her, what do you like? What do you love about him? Well, he's funny. He makes me laugh. Okay. Takes the edge off the world for you. What happens if he stops being funny?
Right.
Or what do you like about her? Oh, she's beautiful. She's hot. Well, that's lust. No, I love her. Oh, really? What if she loses a leg?
Right. What if she gets really sick?
What if she gets sick?
What if she puts on a few pounds?
That never happens. And so, what I'm saying is you start off there, you're already on shaky ground, as you all know, as we all know. I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, I mentioned something early on in the show. I had another point I wanted to get to, this other thing. We were talking about millennials not even getting married or putting it off. And there is another part of that. The reason is they want to have experiences. Okay. You have to fill that void with bungee jumping, base jumping, scuba diving, skydiving, hunting in Alaska, or whatever. Because we have this void that God should fill and knowledge and things should fill. Not to say you can't be adventurous and explore, but.
No,
everyone's looking for an experience, and they look at marriage and children as a burden instead of something that continues your life, that can complete, that sounds very fluffy, but completes your life, you know what I mean? And then we look at love as, oh, well, I love how he makes me feel. There are rainbows. I love how Father Ascara puts that. He's funny when he does it. But all the butterflies and, it just gets me all excited. That goes away.
Like, it does go away.
The first week. Some people, the first day, it goes away. After the gown and the tux has gone back and the gown's in the box and the pictures aren't even back from the get thing, all that's gone. The party's over.
Right.
So, what were you going to say?
Well, I just wanted a little clarification. On the millennials, are they the ones that are waiting until 33 or they're not at all? Or they're
millennials. No.
Millennials.
Millennials are the ones that I had read in this, another study that said they were putting marriage off. This doesn't say that this is millennials or anything. This is just a whole other study that says, on average, Americans wait. So they've taken the numbers and the mean number at which most Americans get married. It was best to get married at 33. Isn't that odd? 33.
Oh, yeah. 33. Isn't that significant?
Lord's age. Well.
That's right.
But and brought to mind something that my first thought was, you know, my mom and dad got married. Mom was like 16 or 17.
Mm-hmm.
They were married till dad died. Well, they're still married.
Right.
And
even my parents, it's a commitment. It's the maturity and having God in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's that commitment. Yeah. You have made a promise and you stick to it for better, for worse, richer, for poor, sickness and in health until death do us part. That's it. There is no going back.
We had obey in ours too, right? You got the obey part.
I did have obey.
Okay, just want to make sure. So there you go. That's it. Just I brought to mind that, and I thought, boy, you know, in times past, people got married. There was no, oh, here's the age you should get married. You know what I mean? We don't need a study,
right?
We need to know that God is there. It's a sacrament, and love is more than rainbows and unicorns. Okay,
that's right.
All right. We are about out of time, Lisa. Boy, that's chewed up a whole nother day.
Well, they go fast.
Yeah, I guess they do. All right. Well, and the other thing is, here's one more thing.
What?
You know, we live often by example, and we've had such a generation of broken families. Talk about, you know, millennials not wanting to get married because they grew up in a broken family.
Right.
And so what do we have to learn from? What's the example? What is the example of what a good marriage should be? We don't have an example like that. Your mom and dad are a perfect example of a good marriage, but those are gone. Those are
going
away.
They're rare, aren't they? I find myself blessed because I have such good parents.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, there you go. God love you. Hug your wife. Kiss your husband.
Kiss his ring, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Say that prayer.
You got to kiss each other's ring in the morning and do that.
I've been trying to remember that one.
All right. Do we have more Pop-Tarts?
We do.
All right, I gotta go get me a piece of pie. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening again here on this Wednesday morning. We'll be back again tomorrow with a little fun. Father Wood is going to join us with another Latin phrase and more stuff. Mike and Lisa Austin, your morning tradition here on Magnificat Radio at MagnificatMedia.com. Tell your friends, contact us, give us suggestions. What?
Living our faith.
Living our faith. That's right. See you later.